Greetings, and welcome to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. I am your host, D.B. Spitzer. As always, we are sponsored by BunnySlippers.com and Found Item Clothing. Keep your feet warm this, what do you call this? Autumn, my favorite time of the year. The leaves are dying and falling. And, yes, if you love cool movies, cult classics, a few horror and slasher films in there, check out FoundItemClothing.com. Really cool science fiction shirts, cool cult classic shirts. What am I talking about? Just check them out. FoundItemClothing.com. All right, we've got that paid portion out of the way. Let's move on to the regular show. Today we're going to be talking about some things pertaining to the Book of Ibon and the great wizard Ibon and the age that he lived in, the Hyborian Age. And if I'm mispronouncing that, well, you can tell me at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival in Portland, Oregon, October 7th, 8th, and 9th. I will be there the 8th and the 9th because on the 7th, I will be up into it. Donuts. I hope I didn't blow some ears out. Unfortunately, due to actually having a job now, I'm not able to just produce episodes at a whim, so they will be more likely bi-weekly as I have always intended, but I will try and get readings out as soon as possible, and I want to put readings in between episodes, even if it's just a couple of short stories here or some poems or whatever. Just, you know, something for you to stick into your ears and listen to my terrible voice talk about spooky stuff. All right. Enough of this garbage. Let's get on with the real part of this show. It is edited and produced and hosted by D.B. Spitzer. Music by D.B. Spitzer and Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening. And remember that People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is brought to you by BunnySlippers.com. Oh, wait, I already did that part. And that People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Check out
darkmyths.org.
It'll be cool. You'll like it. All kinds of stuff. Everything from science fiction to fantasy to real world stuff, history and politics. Cool stuff. Something for everyone. If you like the paranormal, there's really cool stuff. Later on the show, there will be an ad for Inward Empire, I believe. And also, of course, my friends at Blurry Photos are a part of the Dark Myth Collective. Check them out.
Darkmyths.org.
That strangest and rarest of occult forgotten volumes is said to have come down through a series of manifold translations from prehistoric origin, written in the lost language of Hyperborea. Clark Ashton Smith, Ubo Sathla. The Book of Ibon, or Liber Ivanis, or some other one that's in French that I'm awful at pronouncing French, Livre de Ibon, is attributed to Clark Ashton Smith and appears in a number of Lovecraft's stories and Clark Ashton Smith's as well, such as The Hunter of the Dark, Dreams in the Witch House, Horror in the Museum, and A Shadow Out of Time. And let's not forget, it also appears in Ubo Sathla and a bunch of other stuff. The book is supposed to have been written by Ibon, a wizard in the land of Hyperborea. It was an immense text of arcane knowledge that, I don't know, contained, among other things, a detailed account of Ibon's exploits, including his journey to the Vale of Panath and to the planet Shagai, his veneration of rituals of Sathagwa, Ibon and myself's patron deity, and his magical formula for all kinds of wonderful things, such as for the slaying of certain otherworldly horrors. Unfortunately, only one complete fragment of the original is known to exist, scattered in different places of our world, though there are translations in English, French, and Latin. Liber Ivanis is the title of the Latin translation. Smith presents his story, Coming of the White Worm, as Chapter 9 of the Book of Ibon. Other things that will be covered a little bit in The Door to Saturn is Yandre is the elk goddess and a deity worshipped in the waning days of Hyboria. Unfortunately, the priests of Yaunda have also banned the practice of Sathagwa's cult, and her inquisitors punish anyone they deem a heretic. Yaundra's priests fell out of favor as people returned to the worship of Sathagwa as the Hyborian age dwindled. And according to the parchments of Phnom, Yaonda is the wife of Nyarlathotep, avatar of the outer gods. One of these days we will cover just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of Nyarlathotep, because Nyarlathotep is so immense and expansive and so many different faces and motives and avatars that we could spend a year just covering Nyarlathotep. Don't tempt me, because maybe season 6, maybe season 4, maybe season 6, maybe season 7 will be nothing but Nyarlathotep. We'll call it Nyarlathotep Podcast. But no, we're actually finally getting into the age of Hyborian stuff, and we're going to not dwell on it too much because there are two really good podcasts that do cover it quite well. There is Chromcast and Double Shadow. So look up the Double Shadow and look up Chromcast. They will go into it quite a bit differently and a lot more. They'll a lot more expansive coverage of Hyborian ages. Of course, Chromcast covers the writings of Robert E. Howard and that sort of stuff, while Double Shadow, of course, covers more Clark Ashton Smithery. Let's talk about Ibon a little bit more. Ibon is the character Smith created for The Door to Saturn, which, although was his first appearance, was also his swan song, something that Dr. Price would like me to point out. He was a sorcerer and a priest of Zathakwa, otherwise known as Sathagwa. He is renowned as the writer of the Book of Ibon we just spoke of. Ibon lived in a 5-story, 5-sided tower made of black gneiss, which is a commonly distributed type of rock formed by high-grade regional metamorphic processes from pre-existing formations that were originally either igneous or sedimentary rocks. It is often composed of layers of sheet-like planar structures. If you saw it, you'd be like, oh, that looks like a yummy German chocolate cake. I want to build a 5-sided tower up with it. It stood beside the sea on Mu Thulon. Ibon disappeared shortly after Yaonde's premier inquisitor, Morgi, came to his black tower with the writ of his arrest, which we shall cover in The Door to Saturn. When the inquisitors came a-knockin', Ibon went a-rockin' off to Psychranosh, otherwise known as the planet Saturn, through a magic panel given to him by Sathagwa. Ibon was never seen again on this material plane. When Morgai vanished close to the heels of Ibon, many believed that he was in league with the sorcerer all along, and so is largely responsible for the decline of the worship of Yaonde. Let's talk about Krynosh for a moment. Psychranosh, not Krynosh, Psychranosh. Psychranosh is the name of Saturn, if you are an extra-dimensional being like Sathagwa, or if you are a person dwelling in the Hyborian Age and doesn't have a microscope, a telescope, and relies on eldritch deities and dark great old ones to tell you what exists beyond, I don't know, the material plane, the terra firma that you can stand on, but all you see is the dots and spots in the sky. There was no Astronomy Weekly, there was the Book of Ibon. Psychranosh. Unlike its namesake, the great giant gas planet Saturn, Psychranosh of Smith's fiction has a material surface and a breathable atmosphere, and topographically similar to Earth, with vast plains and deserts and mountains. It is replete with forests of great fungi, lakes of strange mercurial liquid, fields of a bluish semi-mineral cactus-like and possibly sentient flora covered with razor-sharp spines and serrated blades. Psychranosh is also inhabited by intelligent bipeds as well as Belfromus and hidden limbs. There tends to be, or has been in the past, gods that have lived on Psychronosh, one of which made its journey to our planet. He turned to see what manner of creature had flung the shadow. This being, he perceived, was not easily classified, with its ludicrously short legs and its exceedingly elongated arms and its round, sleepy-looking head that was pendulous from its spherical body, as if it were turning in a shambolic somersault. But after he had studied it a while, he had noticed that its furriness and solemn expression had begun to be seen through a vague inverted likeness to the god Sathagwa, and remembered how Sathagwa had said the form assumed by himself on Earth was not altogether that which he had worn in Psychronosh. Ibon now wondered if this entity was one of Sathagwa's relatives. Psychronosh was once the home of various great old ones, such as Atlatna Cha and Sathagwa. Sathagwa's paternal uncle, Hizil Huogminza, still dwells there. Hizil Huogminza looks much like his nephew, except for he has a round body and a head that swings beneath its torso. Also, massive cannibal. And that's one of the reasons why I believe that Sathagwa and a lot of others fled from Psychronosh. The Book of Ibon. Ibon itself is just a smaller part of the Hyborian cycle. You're like, what's the Hyborian cycle, DB? The Hyborian cycle is a series of short stories by Clark Ashton Smith set in the prehistoric setting, the fictional prehistoric setting of Hyperborea. Smith takes its cues and clues from H.P. Lovecraft and Robert E. Howard, and, I don't know, has some very kind of Tales of the Arabian Nights kind of feel about it in bits, and other times just feels kind of less horrific, more fantastical versions of stories that Howard or Lovecraft would tell. A amazing example would be the tale of Satampra Zeros, which involves some dark spawn of Sathagwa. Because Smith had borrowed numerous Lovecraftian elements, the cycle itself has been regarded part of the Cthulhu mythos, which I consider it. Especially August Derleth kind of added a whole bunch of it and just kind of like felt that it really was part. And Smith wrote to Derleth in 44. In common with other Weird Tale writers, I have made a few passing references. Others underly slightly altered names, such as Yog-Sothoth for Yog-Sothoth, Cthulhu-T for Cthulhu, for some of the Lovecraftian mythos. But most of them are written in the vein of grotesque humor that differentiates them vastly. However, such as a tale as The Coming of the White Worm might be regarded as a direct contribution to the mythos. The Hyperborean cycle mixes cosmic horror with an Iron Age setting. Adding to the peril is the rapidly approaching Ice Age, which threatens to wipe out all of the Hyperborean continent. A host of other deities play important roles in the cycle, but foremost is the toad-like god Sathagwa, who dwells in Mount Vormith Adreth. Cities that we have talked about in the past regarding the Hyborian cycle is... we have talked about Camorium, which was the capital city of Hyperborea. But unfortunately, Athamas, the headsman of Camorium, told a story about Negethin Zam, the horrid Vormi outlaw who turned into something great and terrible, which I cover in my past episode. And in the tale of Satampra Zeros, Uzoldoram becomes the capital city after Camorium is vacated. Which both cities are mentioned in the Mountains of Madness. The City of the Elder Things is called a Paleogean megalopolis, compared with which the fabled Camorium and Uzoldoram are recent things of today, and not even yesterday. It's from the Mountains of Madness. And there are several geographical locations that exist in Hyperborea that do not get mentioned really in any other stories, like the Glothian Mountains, which the Seven Geases take place, Ebon Peaks and the glassy-walled, honeycombed hidden tunnels within the Glothian Mountains. There is Mount Vormith Adreth, which is a four-coned extinct volcano, which is in the tallest peak of the Glothian Mountains. And Inside dwells the toad god Sathagwa and the spider god Atlatna Cha. There is the source of awfulness, Aboth. And I believe way, way, way deep down somewhere in there, it may be there, it may be somewhere else. I may be mistaken on this, but Ubosothla somewhere in there? There is Yaqua, the green-litten caverns where Aboth dwells, the source of uncleanliness. And it is closely connected to the Cavern of the Archetypes. And the Cavern of the Archetypes is a vast cavern inhabited by spectral archetypes of all life on this earth. And Nug and Yeb reside there. If you don't know who Nug and Yeb is, they are the twin blasphemies spawned by Shub-Niggurath and Yug-Sothoth. Nug is the parent to Cthulhu, and yeah, Nug is also a god among the ghouls, while Yeb is the leader of Aboth's alien cult. Both Nug and Yeb closely resemble Shub-Niggurath, and they are also the Vormi, which are a three-toed, orange, fur-covered humanoid, which got their own episode at one point, and then there are the Noke, which are humanoid cannibals that once resided in Hyboria, being driven to Lomar by the Vormi. And they are described as being covered in coarse, matted hair with large protruding ears and proboscidean noses. And they worshipped Rantagath and Asagwa. So you see where we're going. You see where we've been. We are now wrapping up the Hyborian Age. We have gotten to a point. The Ice Age is coming. The Ice Age has come. And the worship of Sathagwa is about to be cut short for quite some time. Thank you for listening to this part. We'll continue more in just a moment. Hyborian Age. Ibon. The Book of Ibon.
Greetings, listeners. I'm Sam Davis, the host of Inward Empire, a podcast that explores the role of ideas, ideology, and myth in American history. Each episode plunges you eye-deep into a world that's both intensely familiar and profoundly different from the one we live in now. From the forests of colonial New England, to the scarred mental battlefields of Civil War veterans, to the contested streets of Gilded Age cities, I aim to bring the American past alive for my listeners, and at the same time, illuminate the American present. For more information about the show, visit darkmyths.org, or my own website at inwardempirepodcast.wordpress.com.
Hey, everybody. Have you heard the news? Gather around. I have a wonderful book that I need to talk to you about. This isn't one of my really cool books that I've been reading. This is a really cool book that I read all the mo-fuggin' time. Of my backpack because I read it so much. It was in my backpack. Well, it's not a backpack. I'm not seven. I have a satchel. I'm told an Israeli paratrooper satchel, but I person who told me that, I think they're full of shit. So, the Book of Ibon, not the fictional work of fiction that is fictitious. No. This is real, like the Necronomicon. The Book of Ibon. Produced by Chaosium, and this is not a paid ad. This is me just talking about how much I love this book. The Book of Ibon, it is a Call of Cthulhu fiction, a Chaosium book. It is Hyborian cycle stuff by not just Clark Ashton Smith. It is edited by the one, the only, Robert M. Price, who just needs to be in charge of a lot of Mythos books. There's other people, too, that do a great job, but if I want a book that has the word cycle in it, or is named after a book about the mythos, or named after a major tome of the mythos with stories relating to it, I want Price to do it. I really want Price to do it. As I've said, different scholars of the mythos have different tones, and I really like the narrative and the concepts that Robert M. Price imposes upon the mythos based off of his own own, I don't know, understanding of religion and mythology. He puts it into a more, I don't know, cohesive, understandable, if there is such a thing. Also in relation to writing, it's taking kind of like what various people do and smashing it together and adding, I don't know, Robert M. Price is just a great writer, and he's funny. He's really, really funny. Not all mythos scholars are funny, unfortunately. Or not funny in a way that is pleasant to read in a book. Like, you can listen to S.T. Joshi and he'll say funny things, but I don't think he's as humorous when it comes to the written page. Robert M. Price's humor does come out. It's got several maps inside, which I think are amazing. It's got a ton of Lynn Carter. It feels like an actual, like, if a mythos tome was to exist, if someone had translated all of this stuff from Aklo or whatever and slapped it down into a book. It has all kinds of spells and short stories, and it just, there's weird drawings in it, there's incantations, not real. It's meant to be kind of like just tongue-in-cheek, you know, for those of us who really, really are mythos completists. This is a great, great book. Let's see, it retails for, it's free. I guess it's free. I don't see the price tag. I guess it's free. That is one of my least favorite jokes, is from working retail. Anyway, I'm going to say it's probably under $20. I'd buy it either directly from Chaosium or look for it on Amazon. And if you're going to go to Amazon, go to pgttcm.com or pgttcm.podbean.com. Use my Amazon link. Get some money for the show. Buy what you want to buy. And you don't even have to buy this book. You can literally buy anything on Amazon as long as you use my affiliate link. You just click on it. You go there. It's really cool. It's really simple. And it's great. Anyway, yeah. So, Book of Ibon. This has been an Ibonic episode. And it's been good. It's been fun. So, we're going to wrap things down a little bit. And just wanted to remind you that I will be at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival on the 8th and the 9th. It goes from the 7th to the 8th to the 9th. But I'll only be there from the 8th to the 9th. If you're lucky, I might have donuts. If I don't have donuts, I've got high fives, hugs, and handshakes. And yeah. We're People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. You can find us on the Twitter. You can find us on the Facebook. You can find us on the Instagram. We're on Tumblr, but I just pretty much use it for spooky photos and pictures of Team Rocket. Again, not into rocket shipping. Please stop sending me pictures of Team Rocket.
Darkmyths.org.
Each other. Let's see. Do I have any other finishing business? Any closing arguments? Joseph Smolarek wrote, "Hey, DB. I just wanted you to know I appreciate your work on the podcast. Thank you for all your efforts. You seemed a bit low energy on your outro last cast. Maybe some people don't get that they are listening for free. Once again, thank you." Hey, thank you so much, Joe. I really appreciate the support. And yeah, no, sometimes I do get low energy, but I don't record this all in a linear fashion. Bits and pieces get recorded throughout the week, especially now since I'm working and it's a little bit harder to just like sit down and do a full episode. And after I edit it and everything like that, you know, it's really hard to say what's going on. I mean, I'm when I record, I'm never down about the podcast itself. But you know what else happens? You can donate to the show by going to pgttcm.com and clicking on the donate button. You can go to pgttcm.podbean.com and click on the donate button. Or you know what? You can subscribe to the back issues. Yes, I said I would always make PGTTCM free. I am making the 20 most current episodes free. And this is how it'll be for the rest of the days. If you're new to the podcast and you want to listen to the old terrible episodes, they're not all terrible. Some of them are actually kind of fun. You can go to pgttcm.podbean.com and subscribe to the feed for $15 for 6 months. That's $15 for a season. And you could probably listen to all the episodes and have a backlog and then just listen to the fresh new episodes whenever you want. It's pretty cool. And also it helps support the show. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, hey, here's $15. Way to get better at editing. Maybe you can, you know, save up and buy better equipment so we don't hear that constant whoosh sound in the background. Or hey, maybe you'll, you know, have enough time that you can, like, try and look for a co-host or someone to take over the show in general. And I'd be like, that's great. That's awesome. I think I'll do that, guys. Thanks for your $15 donation. And thank you for listening in general. If you don't want to donate, and if you don't want to subscribe to the, you know, $15 a 6 month guy thing that I got going on, rate, review, subscribe. Tell your friends to rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us out on iTunes. It helps us get better sponsors, more sponsors. Not that bunnyslippers.com and Found Item Clothing aren't great sponsors, but, you know, bigger sponsors, you know. Snoopy snow cone machines, Fonzie action pants, cool stuff like that. Anyway, I'm just talking gibberish now. I think I'm really low blood sugar. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. Your host, your guide to, your literary guide to the world of the Cthulhu Mythos. I'm DB Spitzer, and remember,